All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs tonight. And if we could have some fellas help us tear down the auditorium and put some chairs to the side and bring some stuff in, that would be a great blessing. So right after we're done, we'll do our best to get out of your way. And then if you could help us do that, that would be a blessing, especially you young guys like Glenn, big, strong, strapping guys. John, all you guys got a bunch of, well, I don't want to get hurt or anything. But anyway, Proverbs 19, did I say that? Let's all stand together. All of you teenagers all need to help. There, how's that? All right? All you fine, strapping, strong young men like Scott and Mike and even Matt. Well, my Matt, of course, but even, yeah, that Matt. I know you're not that young, but you could pull a chair or two. Proverbs 19, verse 24, the Bible says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's pretty lazy. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God tonight as we open, and I pray that you'd help me. I want to be a blessing tonight, and I pray that you'd help me to get through this outline sufficient, Lord, for the ones that are here. I pray that you'd give us just a sweet spirit. Thanks for hearing our prayers. Thanks for being such a great God. Thanks for being so faithful. Lord, thank you for your provision. The Bible tells us that you daily load us with benefits. God, we're alive today. We borrowed breath from you all day long, and we're here tonight. Now, Lord, we come into your presence by the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, only because of his blood. We thank you for the sweet salvation that you provided for us alone. I'm so grateful, Lord, that a religion can't confer it on you. So grateful it's not by the baptismal waters or some sacrament. Rather, Lord, it is only through a personal relationship with Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we have come now, that we would make a concerted effort to do our utmost for your highest. Lord, not just here today, and not just in our everyday, not just here while we're at church, but also in our everyday life. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Give me clarity of thought and of speech. Help me to be cleaned and emptied that I may be filled and to be a blessing. Pray that you bless these that have come, that you, Lord, in just a few minutes, deliver them home safely by your amazing grace. And God, that you'll just be merciful to their families, help their marriages and their children, help them raise their kids right. Lord, I pray that you'll do a great work at our revival meeting coming up. I pray that you'd be with Dr. Getch, fill him with your spirit. I pray that our church would take it upon themselves to be committed to every service. Lord, that you might touch their heart, that something would be changed and different so that we could really make a difference. I pray that you'll bless our time now again, these that are here. I pray, Lord, for the Awana ministry, that you'll minister through the teachers and to the students. I pray for Miss David, Lord, that you'll please touch her body and that you'll strengthen her. I pray for the life of that unborn child. Lord, I pray that you'd use this situation to be glorified and be honored. Pray that you'd give wisdom to the doctors, but great grace to the family. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The book of Proverbs really assaults the topic of laziness three different times in three different ways. For instance, in chapter 19, verse 15, it declares that laziness brings one to ruin. In our text, the man is so lazy, it's laughable. He's so lazy, he won't even raise his hands to his mouth to feed himself. That's pretty lazy. In chapter 20 and verse 4, the sluggard is irrational. It's cold outside, so I can't work. And it seems, again, that this is one of those topics that keeps repeating itself. And certainly the point that Solomon is driving home is that a person cannot expect prosperity or success in any venture without putting forth an effort. Now, in our text, we see this man's posture is one of pretense. You see, the Bible declares that he is hiding his hand in his bosom. The indication is that he's concealing his folded hands there in his own ease, completely resolved against any labor or any hardship. I'm not going to put my hands forth because they may think that I can actually work, and I'm certainly resolved that I'm not going to make an effort. We also see his pain. Scripture describes a man, by the way, who is so lazy as to not want to dispense with the energy to feed himself. You could say that this would be a scripture hyperbole to describe just how lazy he is. There's an old saying that says that man is so lazy he wouldn't even shake fire off of his back. So though we would not certainly expect someone to be like that, you kind of get the idea that someone is so lazy that they're not going to make any effort even if their life were in danger. Now, if the law is that those who will not labor must not eat, then this one would rather starve than to be stirred to do anything that requires even the energy of lifting your hand to your mouth. That's pretty lazy, Dave. That's pretty lazy. Someone once said about the only thing that comes to us without effort is old age. And I could agree with that. We're all going to get old whether we like it or not. And so Zig Ziglar said one time, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you learn to do it well. Many people would say, you know, I don't pray very well. And, you know, we started out in life and I wasn't a very good husband. I wasn't a very good wife. But the longer that I live, the more effort that I put into something, the better I become. And that would make sense. We do well as parents to make sure that our children understand the importance of effort. If you want to make the team, you got to work hard. If you want to be a starter, you got to work even harder. If you want to be an all-star, you have to even work harder. But my thought tonight and my concern is, do we teach them to do the same in order to be a spiritual all-star? Do we really drive it in our kids' hearts, or maybe do we even have it in our hearts, that we would make the effort to be a spiritual all-star rather than a physical all-star? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now the Bible says much about this matter of effort. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In fact, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So certainly we can understand that in order to attain spiritual success, we must also put forth an effort greater than mediocrity. Someone said spiritual success requires a spiritual effort, and great spiritual success requires a greater spiritual effort. So tonight, if I want us to look at several ways we need to make an effort, and I want to put it in this, I want to not only talk about just it being a spiritual success on a daily battle, but I would also like to apply it in the wake of our coming revival. You could apply this in the sense that now that the first 40 days of this year are gone and that many people have read their Bible and prayed daily, some have fasted, how do we continue? What efforts pay off in the realm of spiritual success? And I want to just try to encourage you tonight in several ways, really, to maximize not just these next couple of days on our own in prayer, but also in the coming days as far as the preaching of the Word of God and our lives after this. And so first of all, I want to give you several ways that I believe the Bible teaches how we ought to make an effort and the payoff for at least striving that way. Now listen, you understand that what we put into our Christian life, we're going to get out. And so God says, look, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. All that we know from the New Testament is, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't think that there was a spiritually lazy bone in the Apostle Paul. And guess what? Timothy didn't have a lazy bone in his body either. Neither did Jude or Titus and James or Peter. So when we think about the mediocrity of the day, we begin to see the age of the Laodiceans where God says, look, I would rather you be cold so I could stir you, or I'd rather be hot that I could use you, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And so for fear of being that way, I want to encourage you in several ways to make a greater effort in the coming days, especially in the wake of our revival that's coming. First of all, I think we need to make a concerted effort to attend God's house. To attend God's house. Now, you know that I've preached on this over and 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 over for some 13 years, really. And so what I'm saying to this crowd is, you could say, well, Pastor, it's irrelevant. Of course, we're here on Wednesday night. Of course, we understand this. And I know that, but maybe it's not just tonight. Maybe it's in every other church service. Maybe it's knowing that when the doors are open, God says, listen, if you're going to attend, there's two things you need to understand. Number one, it's purpose. It's purpose. You have to have a purpose in your heart and a purpose to live for, or you're never going to make an effort. Secondly, it's priority. The word priority, many times people are not in the house of God or as faithful as they know they ought to be just because God's house is not a priority. The same could be said about the Word of God. Same could be said about prayer. So in matter of this, you know, how much energy does it really take in order to be at church? How much energy does it really take in order to pray or read our Bible? And that's the idea. God says, look, I want you to make an effort because I left heaven to come to earth for you. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might make you rich. And so I think of purpose. Daniel, the Bible says, Daniel purposed in his heart. We need a purpose in our heart every time. Listen, it ought to be a goal. Lord, will you please help me to plan not to miss rather than to plan to miss? Purpose. Second is a priority. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot. All through the Bible, it talks about diligence and effort and fervency. So in this matter of attending the Lord's house, I just want to encourage you tonight. This is not bombastic. I'm not picking out anybody. I'm just saying, if we don't purpose in our hearts and we don't plan to do our level best, how in the world could we expect to reach any kind of spiritual success? How could we make any spiritual progress? How could 2015 be any different than 14 if we don't say, hey, we want to minimize the opportunities that we have to be elsewhere rather than to be here? So I just want to encourage you with the effort to attend God's house. I know this, if you'll purpose in your heart and you'll make the revival meeting a priority, that God's going to bless you. I just know that. I know that he will. Now, you probably are not going to get a bonus check. Probably not going to have a letter from the IRS that says, guess what? We have made an unprecedented mistake. You are getting 10 times your return back. Probably not going to happen, all right? But you may have a little greater peace in your heart going home each night. You may have a little greater joy and spring in your step. You may have a little better relationship with your wife and family. I'm just simply saying God's grace is not only sufficient, but his wisdom is worth far more than a check from the IRS. By the way, the Powerball tonight, I think, was up with like $600 or $487 million. Now, if you were dumb enough to play it, just be smart enough to tithe off it, okay? If you hit it, just make sure. Just checking. Let's make an effort to attend God's house. Secondly, if you're really going to have spiritual success, you need to make an effort to abstain, listen, from fleshly lusts. You're going to have to make an effort. Look, you don't live right by accident. Someone say amen right there. You just don't live right by accident. You live right on purpose. You've got to make an effort. The Bible says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, watch, which war against the soul. So let me give you several things you need to abstain from, just from evil in general. From evil. Secondly, from evildoers. The Bible says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Abstain from, number three, from evil thoughts. You know what you need to do when you find your mind going in a way that it ought not to go, whether it's in doubt or whether it's in evil concupiscence, wherever the devil or your flesh would happen to walk together hand in hand, and by the way, they love each other. If you find your mind slipping, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what I believe in? I believe in saying, Lord, will you please help me? Will you please help me? I'm doubting right now. Lord, I'm fearful right now. I don't see how to navigate these waters right now. And Lord, I don't want to put up an obstacle that's greater than you. So help me to remember that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I don't want to be doubting. Lord, I don't want to start thinking wrong thoughts. I don't want to be critical about this individual, or I don't want to be even critical of my own family members or negative. Lord, help me to cast those down in Jesus' name. Help me to think about things that are pure and honest and just, things that are of good rapport, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Lord, help me to think on those things and pray through that. We need to abstain from evil, from evildoers, from evil thoughts. I think we also need to abstain from evil doors or windows. You know what I'm talking about. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The simple are pass on and are punished. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Let me just encourage you fellas and you ladies tonight. If you sense or see an opportunity for fleshly thoughts or for evil to come into your heart by the eye gate or the ear gate, you probably need to turn it off and walk away. If you're in a conversation with some people and you sense there's a different spirit there and you sense just a matter of seconds that that conversation could take a corner and go the wrong direction, it would be best to walk away. It would be far better just to abstain from that. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, I think you have it in your notes, abstain from all appearance of evil. We need to make an effort to attend God's house. Can I get somebody to say amen right there? George, would you say amen? And we need to make an effort to abstain from fleshly lust. Thirdly, we need to make an effort to attain more grace. Well, now I'll not go there. It seems like I have probably read out of Colossians 1, 9 through 11 more in the last 6 months than ever previous. And I always hesitate because I always think they're going to say, Pastor, you have read that verse and don't you think we know it by now and whatever. So what I'm going to have you do is I'm just going to assign it homework. Okay? I want you to read it tonight. But here's what you're going to find. We need to make an effort to attain more grace. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, you humble yourself and you pray and you seek God's face. And you'll find in that passage of Scripture these several things that we need to strive toward and we need to pray for. Letter A, we need to attain more knowledge of God's perfect will in our life. To attain the knowledge of God's will. Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? How is it that I could respond? Letter B, we need to pray for a stronger walk with God. Would you agree? I mean, I think everybody, I don't think that anybody, look, Debbie, I have been saved for a long time. I've been in the church a long time. I've never met somebody yet that's perfect. I mean, I know you're close. You're close. But I know you were going to say, that's why I said it for you. Let another man sing thy praise, Debbie. I didn't see anybody walking on the water out here when it was raining. So I figure until then, probably we better all just press on. Pray for a stronger walk with God. Letter C, we need to pray for fruitful service to God. And this is all in that passage. It'd be a great devotion in the morning if somebody took number 3 and read Colossians 1, 9 through 11 and went through these and said, God, would you help me to have a greater knowledge of your will for my life in every area? God, would you help me to have a stronger walk with you? I want to walk closer. God, would you help me to have fruitful service? Put me in the opportunities. And letter D, God, could I have a greater faith? Now look, I'll just say this. A faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. So don't pray for a greater faith if you're not tithing. Ooh, it's Wednesday night, I know. Don't pray for greater faith if you're not tithing. Don't pray for greater faith if you've not been baptized. Don't pray for a greater faith if you're not actively reading the Word of God. Listen, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, help me, by the Word of God. That's the Bible. So don't say, God, give me a greater faith. I just can't believe. I just can't trust. I just can't do that. If you're not trusting Him in the basic ways, why would God increase your faith if you're not even testing it? Can somebody help me right there? Okay, good. I just need some encouragement tonight. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, let's review. We need to make a greater effort, number one, to what? Attend God's... Oh, you're almost there. So we need to make an effort to attend God's house. Number two, we need to abstain from... Then number three, we need to attain more grace. Number four, we need to make an effort in spiritual appetite. Spiritual appetite. I have a lot of trigger foods. I'm not sure why I have a lot. I wish I only had like one. I wish it was like, you know, Lay's potato chips, but I have a lot more than that. These stupid cookies that we found at Trader Joe's, I don't know, a year ago or whatever. Maybe you guys have seen them. They're maple leaf cookies. Have you seen those? If you haven't, you need to go buy like 4 boxes. They're in the shape of a maple leaf. They're from Canada. How many have seen them? How many have eaten them? How many have eaten more than one? Paula, you haven't shared them with your husband? Oh, well, that's okay. He doesn't need any. They're in the maple leaf, and they've got like that much goodness in between two of them. And it tastes like maple. How many like maple syrup? How many like lots of maple syrup on you? Hallelujah. That's because you like sugar. Now watch. Here's the cool thing with those things is they marry well with cold milk. I mean, they soak like nobody's business. You may have to leave them in there a little while. Maybe you have to flip them over like a barbecue, but you keep them in there long enough so you can't feel the tips of your fingers, and you are good to go. And if you got a big enough pie hole like I do, the whole thing goes in. It's like a party in your mouth every time. Home. You know what I'm talking about? It gets so mushy and you go with your tongue and it just goes kaboosh all over. Doesn't it? Everybody's going to be at Trader Joe's tonight. Where are those boxes? Now watch. Did you know that you can eat so much junk food that you don't have an appetite for the good stuff? Now, as kids, we learn that. Mom, can I have a cookie? No, because you're going to spoil your appetite. So what do? You try to go sneak a cookie. Why? Because you really like the stuff that's bad for you. So what I'm convinced is, as a Christian, I need to change, Brother Dave, my appetite. I need to be careful. Let me give you several thoughts. You need to establish a time in God's Word. Friend, if you don't have a time established now after 6 weeks, then you probably better start again tonight. So God, for the next 6 weeks, I'm committing to reading the Bible every day. By the way, I started reading the Bible, the Old Testament, through on Sunday, and you can read the Old Testament through if you read 3 chapters a day, and you'll be done. Now, you're going to be laying down in Leviticus. You'll be laying down again in Numbers. But keep your nose up out of the water, and you'll be okay. You'll just have to endure through some of those. I think you'll enjoy Exodus a little bit more because we've been studying it. And after you get through there and you start getting a little higher up and you start reading about Moses getting to the end of the journey and Joshua taking over, you'll be just fine. But you got to get there. Guess what it requires? An effort. You got to strive. If you want the mastery, you got to strive. If you want spiritual success, if you want a spiritual appetite for God's Word, you got to last. Establish time in God's Word. It may be for you in the morning. I get up on Sunday mornings at about 5 o'clock. I try to get up every single day during the week, Monday, not on Tuesday, Monday and Wednesday, by around 5:30. And I want to have my time with the Lord. Now, look, I'm human like everybody else. Sometimes that pillow wrestles me into the covers and I can't get out of bed. Sometimes it's a little later than that. And sometimes things distract, all right? So I get the humanity of it. But he who aims at nothing hits it every time. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So I'm just saying, look, it would be better to try your best rather than not try at all. According to the Bible, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. So establish a time in God's Word. I need to hurry. Letter B, something that will help you in the realm of spiritual appetite is just to have and to listen to Christ-honoring music. Say, Pastor, what's Christ-honoring music got to do with it? It's got to do everything with it. See, how do you know? Because everybody in here that's over the age of 30 can walk into any store anywhere and hear a song from the 80s and recall it, even though you haven't heard it for that long. That is the power of music. See, how do you know it? Because you had an appetite about it then, and if you're honest with me and with God, you still have a pretty good appetite for it. Or at the least, your flesh does. Now, we just need to understand, our flesh is pre-programmed that way. Music is the most powerful medium in our land today. It's unbelievable. You go to a grocery store, they want you to hurry, they play fast music. You go to a restaurant, they want you to hurry up and eat, they play fast music. They want you to loiter for a while, they play slower music. Whether it's a grocery store or a restaurant, you know what I'm talking about. You play a faster paced song, you get a little more on edge. Your foot starts to move. You play a little slower paced song, classical music, you're like, ooh. Pretty cool, man. You know, you just hang out. Christ-honoring music. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3 are going to tell you the criteria for Christ-honoring music. You need to ask yourself a question. Lord, does this music that I'm listening to honor you? Number two, does it speak to my flesh? Or does it move my flesh? Or does it speak and encourage my spirit? Amen. Number three, Lord, when people hear this song, will they have a greater reverence for you? Is it rightly representing the name of Jesus Christ? Christ-honoring music. an effort for a spiritual appetite. This one's the Lord just gave me this afternoon. Letter C, God-fearing friends. That'll help you with what you're feasting on. God-fearing friends. That will help your spiritual appetite. You know why? I'll just default back to a previous verse because it's a good one. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. It's not the... I get tired of the people saying, well, I didn't see anything, I didn't hear anything, I didn't do anything. See no evil, hear no evil type thing. Speak no evil. It matters who you hang around. Why? Because nearness is likeness. You'd be shocked how critical, listen, or how positive you are about a given topic based on the company that you keep. Think right now in your mind of your best friend right now. When you're with that best friend, are you encouraged to be more like Jesus Christ? Do you have a greater desire to please God? If you don't, I'm not saying you ought not be friends with him. I'm just saying you better be very careful. Because if you're going to have a greater spiritual appetite, you kind of need to have spiritual friends. By the way, I have always been a proponent of my bestest friends in the whole wide world are right here at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. I love to hear about people going off and having play dates here and having activities over there and establishing relationships and not being exclusive over here in some kind of clique, but rather keeping everything open and honest before all men. I love to hear that kind of stuff. Do you know why? Because they could be doing it with someone else that's not saved. They could be wasting their spiritual effort on people who don't really love God and not trying to live for God. So how do you know if someone's trying to live for God? Do they have a heart for souls? Do they want to see people saved? Do they have a heart and a commitment to a house of God that preaches the Word of God? Do they have a heart for doing the things always that please the Lord? I'm just saying, if I want to have a spiritual appetite, I got to eat with people who have the same appetite. Effort to attend God's house. Number two, abstain from fleshly lusts. And effort number three, to attain more grace. And effort number four, to maintain or establish a spiritual appetite. Number five, I think we need to make an effort to adorn the doctrine of God. We're talking about an effort because the Bible says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to do this. Watch. Does it? This? That's enough. I'm not like wore out or anything. Turn to Titus chapter 2, if you will. Now it does take an effort to get out of the bed. It does take an effort to shut your phone off. It does take an effort not to answer email. It does take an effort to go to the throne of God. But it doesn't take that much of an effort. Titus chapter 2, I want you to see verse 7. This is a really good verse. It's a good training tool for young men. In all things, verse 7, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things. Not answering again, you can write in the side there in the Greek, that means don't talk back. Now watch verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Why? That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You know what the word adorn means? Anybody want to take a crack at it? It's exactly what it means. It means to make attractive. Let me ask you a question. How attractive is salvation through your life? How attractive, according to the Bible, how attractive is the doctrine of God our Savior in all things? It says in all things. It says a pattern of good works. It says to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Notice what it says, not purloining. In the context of the servants, they're purloining. Dave means stealing, means taking away. So I don't think that anybody in here who has anybody work for you likes a thief. You shouldn't steal from your employer. One way you steal is by standing around not working. That's stealing from your employer. But you shouldn't steal physically. You shouldn't steal lazily. But in spite of that, I shouldn't be stealing the grace of God and doing nothing with it. God says, I've got grace sufficient. What are you going to do for me? I want to make attractive the doctrine of God. I want to make attractive the name Jesus Christ. I want my life to be, according to Philippians 1:27, as it becometh the gospel. I want my life to be lived in such a way that it makes Christianity attractive. I don't think I have to spruce up necessarily God. I think He's perfect. But the only Jesus Christ that people are ever going to see on this earth, according to the people that live around me, is me. Now the question is, am I making it attractive or not? According to this verse, I find three things. Number one, it does matter what I say I believe. What I say I believe matters. I would hate to have somebody say, well, what do you believe about baptism? And go, well, it's somewhere in here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Be ready to give an answer always. What I say I believe matters to people. I need to know what I believe. Why? Because what I believe affects the way I behave. What I say I believe matters. Letter B, the way I speak matters according to these verses. The way I speak can adorn the doctrine of God or detract or deface. Letter C, the way I work matters. It's apparent from the text. Now, John 8:29, the Bible says, and he, speaking of Jesus, Jesus said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now look, I wanted to encourage you tonight. I hope that you're encouraged. This coming week will be an opportunity to put these things to the test. An effort to attend God's house. We need to make a concerted effort to abstain from fleshly lusts. We need to make an effort to attain more of the favor of God, to have a greater spiritual appetite, and to adorn the doctrines that He's given to us. When we make an effort, God makes a difference. Okay? The story is told of a big lumberjack who bought a brand new chainsaw and was told that it could cut down at least 100 trees a day. But on the first day, he only managed to cut down 25 trees. The next day, he cut down 33 trees. On the third day, he really worked hard and he cut down 48 trees. So he went back to the store. He confronted the manager with his complaint. He told him of his efforts and of the result. This manager couldn't quite understand what had gone wrong, so he asked to take a look, said, do you have the chainsaw? Yeah. So he brought it around back and he laid it down. He grabbed the starter rope and pulled hard, and the motor started with a roar. And the lumberjack jumped back in alarm, and he said, hey, what's that noise? Some of you will get that on the way home. He cut down the trees without having the motor on. Oh, that makes sense. Watch this. Imagine the progress we would make spiritually if we took advantage of God's power in our life. If we made an effort to abstain from worldly lusts, fleshly lusts, that we could walk in the Spirit, imagine how many trees we could cut down. I wonder if we could lead one person to Christ. I wonder if we could have one visitor in church. I wonder if we could really trust God with our whole heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight, and thank you for the time of prayer. Thank you for, Lord, good-meaning people. God, I'm not doubting anybody's motives here tonight. Except my own, I want to make sure that they're pure and holy and right. Lord, tonight, would you help us to make a greater effort this week, this next week? Lord, if we're going to succeed spiritually, so we're going to require that we put forth our best effort. Lord, I pray that we would instill, Lord, in our families the heart to strive for masteries spiritually. Help us to be spiritual all-stars, that you would be glorified. Help these principles to be a help and encouragement to someone tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's all stand together to our feet. I want to ask the piano to play just for a couple of minutes tonight. I just want